Oh, Jesus. Lord Jesus, teach us how to enter the throne room, just like you said in your word, by a new and living way. Teach us how to just come in like little children. Teach us how to worship by the Spirit in ways that are fragrant to you. Bring us out of ourselves, you know, out of our stuff, that we can walk in the Spirit and that we can come before the throne and get to know you as you are. Not as people have told us you are, but as you really are. That we get to know you. We want to know what you're really like. And we know that we can be ourselves with you because you already know everything about us. Our goods and bads and ups and downs. You know everything about us and we don't have to pretend with you. So remove every mask, Lord. Let us just come before you honest and true. With all our stuff. Because you're able to fix what we're not able to fix. Hallelujah. You know, while we, hallelujah, in Jesus' name. While we were worshiping, I saw a picture of someone. And you're a person that you do love God and you have loved him for a long time. But you sometimes have trouble feeling. You see other people that get carried away, you know, or get touched by the Holy Spirit or have encounters. And I saw your heart looked like stone, but you do love Jesus and he's not condemning you. But he gave me that scripture that he will take out the heart of stone and give a heart of flesh. And he's doing something in us tonight, and everybody's in a different place. But sometimes a heart of stone can happen because we simply went through too much. It can be how we were raised. I was raised not to do emotions. You know, that wasn't cool at our house. You know, so I was raised to just not do that. And so when I fell in love with Jesus, I would only have my love affair with Jesus was completely private, you know, because we just didn't do that at our house, you know. So I was raised. But sometimes people go through too much. There's several kinds of hearts in here. Lots of different hearts in here. One thing is true. Everybody in here loves Jesus. And Jesus loves everybody in here. So there's not any condemnation whatsoever. But God is, he's changing our hearts tonight. I see him turning up the dial a little bit, you know. Helping our hearts grow warmer, hotter, more. The fire that's small becomes bigger. And I heard him say, do not fear and do not think I'm rebuking you. I'm changing you. I'm just letting you know that I'm doing a thing. And I saw someone's heart, and this actually doesn't feel like it's in this happening in this room. It feels like something that may happen at night. Did you ever go to bed at night and have a God encounter? There are times when I go to bed at night, as Lori would say, I'm minding my own business and wake up in a season with God or a moment with God. And what I saw was a heart that's been crying out. You're hungry and you're thirsty and you do want more, but you felt frustrated. I saw you stuck. It was like you were stuck at this line and you wanted to go forward. You love God, but you couldn't seem to pass this invisible barrier. And you've been calling out to God, come and help me, come and help me. And I feel like that's actually more than one person in here. But I saw Jesus reach and extend his hand and get your hand and pull, you know, like just pull you right over. You know, that it's the heart that cries out for help. That's pleasing to Jesus. He knows we don't have the ability in our own self, right? We, you know, what do we know, right? We act like we know a lot. We don't know much, do we? But Jesus reaches out and he pulls us across that line. I'm seeing some of you are going to be brought across an invisible barrier that's been holding you back. And I saw someone's heart come into a fire, but it was a lovely fire. It was a fire of God that warms the heart. And I saw some of the old things. You know, sometimes our heart hardens for a reason. And sometimes it's because we went through something or we went through stuff. There's someone in here, you went through stuff with church. You went through stuff with religious people. You went through stuff at a church, even maybe a good church. But it left, I saw that it left its mark in your heart. Some of you went through stuff with family. And it left a mark in your heart. Some of you, there's someone in here, you had a terrible and very sudden break in a relationship. And it it almost took you out. It was so shocking. You weren't ready for it. You weren't prepared for it. You had big hopes for this relationship. And I saw this cut. It was like instant and very, very difficult, almost the word brutal. And I saw that it did a great deal of damage and wounding to your soul. But the problem with wounds is that oftentimes, instead of wholly healing, a wound becomes a scar. And how many of you ever had a really hard piece of scar tissue in your body? It is tough, right? It's tough like a knot. You don't feel there, right? It can't feel. It's scar. And when your heart gets scarred, what happens is you just can't feel. You know, Jesus might be reaching out to you, and you love him. You know you love him, you know. And I've been there. I've been there and done that. I mean, I remember times when I'd be like, I love you with all my heart. I just can't feel it right now. I love you with everything I've got, but I went through a season of my life where I could not feel anything, not even pain. I just couldn't feel anything. I mean, it was a terrible time because I just didn't care, and not caring is worse than having pain. Pain you feel like you might recover from. When you don't care, you know, you're in danger. And I went through, now I love Jesus with all my heart, and that never ceased, but I went through too much, and I began to shut down. I'm not talking to everybody, okay? But somebody in here is going, that's me. And when you shut down emotionally because you've just gone through too many things, you've carried too much, people have expected too much, and what happens is we're just people, we're just human, and sometimes it's just more than we can do. It's more than our heart can bear, and especially if some of this happened when you were little. Sometimes children go through stuff that no child was ever designed to go through. And it does a form of damage that's just too much for their little heart, right? And so tonight, I didn't know we were going here tonight, but I see God doing some work in hearts to make us fervent for the Lord again. And he's saying that for some of you, this will be a journey. You're going to begin to feel more, and you're going to interact with God. Keep talking to him, whether you feel or not. Keep talking to him, keep asking him, keep seeking him, and keep knocking. Whether you feel or not, doesn't really matter. You keep seeking him because I'm seeing something open in your life. I'm seeing hearts open up. I'm seeing journeys open up. I'm seeing life path. Like someone's, I don't know what this means, okay? But I saw someone's life path. It was like it closed. And they'd been going along this path, and then it was just like it closed up, and they went, oh. And they're just kind of standing there, stuck. You're in this room, and you're like, I did the best I know, and somehow I feel stuck. Did I misunderstand? Did I go the wrong way? And the Lord is saying, no, no. You didn't misunderstand. You didn't go the wrong way. But I'm going to open a door for you. I am going to open the way for you. I'm going to put you right where you need to be because you are on the path of life. You are on the path with me. I'm going to show you things. I'm going to reveal some things to your heart, he says. I'm going to open your eyes to see some things in a new light, in a new way. You're going to perceive in a new way. I'm opening some things up, he says, because I love you, because you're called of me. I never leave my little broken lambs alone. Didn't he say that whenever there was a little one lamb, one that went away, he would always leave the 99. He would always go find the one. That's still true today. We've seen whole meetings where God will stop ministering to 99 people and spend 45 minutes ministering to one soul that's been damaged and wounded. And he does that because he cares so much for every person. He doesn't want to lose one. And so if you feel like God hasn't been there, or God doesn't care, or you just feel like you can't connect with him, God is talking to you right now and saying, oh, I'm going to connect with you, all right. I'm going to connect with you, and if I have to, I'm going to pick you up, and I'm going to carry you. I want to carry you into victory because I have actually desired victory for you. Some of my children think that I don't desire good things for them. It's not true. I sent Jesus, my son. I sent Jesus, my son. I sent Jesus, my son, to purchase your victory, to purchase your redemption, to purchase your salvation, to purchase a life for you that the others, they can only get it through Jesus. And I do not desire for my children to fail or fall or have regrets. There's a few people in here, not everybody, but I see 3 or 4 people that you're dealing with regret. And you're always looking back over your shoulder thinking, if only I would have. if it could have been that, if that wouldn't have happened, what if I would have listened to my mother, somebody said. What if I would have gone the way she told me to go? What if I would have chosen that school? What if I would have chosen that person? What if I would have chosen that career? And here's what God says. It doesn't matter where you find yourself. It doesn't matter if you zigged when you should have zagged. It doesn't matter if you made 49 incorrect decisions. Wherever you are right now, this moment, wherever you are, God comes to find you. And he will put you on his path. God takes, the Bible says, he took my feet out of the miry clay and he set them on a solid rock. God will help you recover and restore to the very center of his will, even if you missed it. You know, some people believe that they missed it so badly that somehow they're never going to fulfill their calling. Well, that's absolutely not true. Absolutely not true. God is extraordinary, and one of his favorite things to do is the impossible. One of his favorite things to do is take a situation that can't be done and do it anyway. He laughs about it. It's so easy for God. God can restore. Listen, I was in a situation where it was truly impossible. There was no way for me to ever fulfill my calling there. I could search and search and search. I couldn't find one possibility of a way that it could ever happen. And guess what? God did it anyway. God came to where I was at. I remember one day feeling like somehow, Lord, I love you with all my heart, but somehow I must have taken a wrong turn, and it seems like I've gone deeper and deeper into this jungly forest, and I can't even find the road anymore. I don't even know where the road is. I don't even know which way the road is. And then I came to a place where I couldn't go any further, and I was stuck. Someone in here has been actually using the words, I'm stuck. I feel stuck. And I remember the day that I cried out to God and said, I don't even know how to get back on my path. I don't know how to find the center of your will. I'm stuck. And God said, don't you know that in 1 second I can pick you up and stick you right smack in the middle of the center of my will? I was like, yeah, I forgot, you know. Thank you, Lord. And just in seconds, I caught the vision of what he was trying to do. A lot of it is our perception. That's why Satan tries so hard to muddle your perception. He tries so hard to get you to think incorrectly, to think foggy, to think hopeless, to think, oh, this will never change, this situation. That's his job. It's his actual job, to make you feel like it's never going to work, this will never happen. Well, he's the father of lies, the truth is not in him. His job is to try to keep you from the will of God, keep you from the presence, keep you from relationship. That's his whole job. So all the stuff that he does, all the stuff, everything, you name it, the warfare, the temptations, the circumstances, any symptom that comes upon you, all of it, boil it down, and here's what you'll find. He is afraid that you're going to find close relationship in the Father. That's all it is. Why does Satan want you to sin? He doesn't really care if you sin, does he? No, he wants you to sin so he can have a baseball bat to beat you in the head and say, you can't go into God, he's mad at you, you sinned. You see? But his whole fear is that you will come into a true relationship with your Father. Because if you ever get in your Father's arms and you ever get a revelation of his love for you and all that he wants for you and all the way he wants to use you in this world, and you say, well, I'm not worthy, I'm not like that, I don't have that calling. Listen, God has no limits. Does it mean we'll all do the same thing? No, of course not. But God himself, he wants to take your life and make it a blessing. And not just a blessing to you, but a blessing for others. You have a purpose here. There's a reason you're here, and it is often to be a blessing to others. It's to help others. It's to help somebody else who fell down, help somebody else who can't pay their bill, help somebody else who needs a healing. Not all about us, right? We were put here to do some things with him and have him do some things through us. But the whole point is that how that works is in his arms. Come on. Sometimes we've gotten the idea that we're supposed to do stuff for him, and in reality, we really can't do that, can we? We don't have much ability to do for God. It's God's ability that needs to work through us. Well, how can that happen? Well, that can happen if you come so close to the Father that you begin to flow with him. I know some of you have been here many times and you've heard me talk about this picture. But this picture has been a mainstay to me. God still uses this picture in my life. It's one of the first pictures he ever showed me, visions he ever showed me. And in this vision, I saw a picture of a man worshiping God. And this man was facing the Father and his arms were out. He was just worshiping God. It was very lovely. But as I watched over time, the man turned around and he stood in front of the Father. And his arms were still out, but he was ministering the things of God from God. But he was standing in front of God, like this. Then as I continued to watch, because he and the Father were growing closer, he stepped back into God until he was inside of God. Now I could still see the image of the man inside God. He hadn't lost who he was, but he was absorbed in the Father. And now that I'm older, see, that was probably 35 years ago, that vision. But God still speaks to me today. What happened? The man did not lose his identity, but he became so close to the Father that when the Father moved his arm, I could actually see their arm moved as one. When God spoke, he was using the man's mouth who was in him. You see? It's a different lifestyle. And it is a gift from God for all New Testament believers if they will press into relationship and not religion. It is a gift from God for every New Testament believer, from the least to the greatest. It doesn't matter what level you're at. It doesn't matter how old. It doesn't matter if you're 5 years old or 70. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you're really, really smart or not smart at all. It doesn't matter. What Jesus died for, he died for all to have. And so we try to do for God. We try to do performance for him and service for him. And that's a good heart, isn't it? That's good. It's a good heart. But what God is looking for is this oneness, right? This fellowship and this relationship. He's calling us into this place. And that's why he was dealing with hearts. Because our heart needs to join to his heart, right? We need to get our heart whole, don't we? Because if you're broken, if you're scar tissue, and you're not healed, it will be hard for you to have relationship, won't it? It's hard to have relationship with anybody when you're broken on the inside. It's hard to have relationship if you have a lot of scar tissue, isn't it? It's hard because if you have pain, if you have wounding, and you have scar tissue, just think about even in a friendship or even in a marriage. A person says something and you react from that scar. You react from that wound, right? Did you ever see it happen? Somebody walks in and says, "Oh, this is such a beautiful house. Well, what's wrong with my house? What's wrong with our house? Were we talking about your house?" What just happened? Their wound flared, right? Because they got beat up in that area. We don't condemn them, but the fact is people carry that stuff all the days of their life. We see people who are so broken, they're still reacting to something that happened 40 years ago, right? Some of our odd behavior comes from things that happened, right, to us, and we're in fear of it happening again, so we react. Do you ever have a behavior and you think, "Well, that's not like me. Why did I do that? What's wrong with me? Why did I say that? Why did I act like that?" I know you didn't. I know that never happened to you. Well, it's happened to me. But what I discovered is if I would go to God and say, "What is up with that? Why did I? That doesn't seem like me. That's not like my personality." God would often give me a little picture or a memory. Here's what happened. He'll take me right back to the moment where something happened to me. And I remember acting incorrectly, we'll say. And I was in a church office and I reacted in a way that is totally not like me. And then I was kind of embarrassed about it, you know. It wasn't anything big. No one else would have noticed, but I noticed. And I went to the Lord and I said, "Why did I act like that?" And immediately had a flashback of a guy I had worked for 20 years earlier. who was kind of mean. And I was still reacting to that guy, even though I hadn't worked for him in all those years. And I was reacting to him with a person who was nothing like that. And that's how we are, right? When we have a wound or a scar, right? We're defensive, right? We defend ourselves. Some people, the way their defense is a good offense, right? You start to look like you're getting too close to the wound. Whew, you know, you're like, man, that guy's mean. Well, no, he's not mean. He's just hurting. You know, it's like the lion with a thorn in their paw. They're going to roar and they're going to swing at you if you get too close. Because why? They don't want to be hurt anymore. And the church is full of this, full and full and full of people who are broken, scarred, and wounded and act badly, and then we get mad because they're supposed to be better. Well, are we any better? Come on. No, we're all on our way. And so God is trying to gently pull the thorn out of our paw, heal scar tissue, heal hearts, heal souls, right? But he wants you to know the purpose and the point has to do with the fact that when you come close enough to him, it's no longer about religion or performance or doing things for him. You will do more out of that place than you ever did without being in that place. All the performance in the world, all the getting it right and, you know, being in the helps committee and all that stuff, you'll never accomplish as much as you can accomplish by being in him. In him we live and move and have our being. In him, right? We live and move and have our being. Most of us don't know how yet. But if you can come to a place where you're close to the Father and you have a real revelation of his love for you, I mean a real one, and when that happens, you know you're not anybody. You know, it's not like you think you're somebody or you think you have a gift. You know you're not anybody, but you know you're in your daddy, your father, your papa. You know you're in him, and you know he loves you, and that he's carrying you, and he's doing the works. He just happens to be borrowing your mouth. That's what Paul meant when he said, it is no longer I, but Christ who lives through me. Christ is doing the works. What did Jesus say? The works that I do, the Father that's in me does them. Come on, think about it. He had such an identity with his Father. They were one. But do you get that he wants you to have that same thing? That's why he breathed on his disciples and said, receive the Holy Spirit. It's the same Spirit. It's the same Spirit. You're accepted in the Beloved. He wants his children to have the Holy Spirit because then the works that you do, it's the Father in you doing them. How? It's the Holy Ghost. It's the very presence of the Father in you. Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Spirit, the very house of God? Come on. Your body is the house of God. Do you know the power of God? Do you understand what that means? The same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead? Think about what resurrection power must look like in the Spirit. Think about resurrection power in the Spirit. Think of the blinding light that might look like. Think about Catherine Kuhlman saying to a guy, you know, somebody in here, their leg, they had a fake leg from the knee down, a prosthesis. I got to learn how to say that word. She said, somebody's getting a new leg right now. And this guy had come to expose her as a fraud, and he gets a new leg. Newspaper reporter. Imagine what the resurrection power really looks like in the Spirit. It's pure light. It's light. It's light. Do you understand that that's living in your body? How do we activate what God has placed in us? Or do we just say, well, I don't know if he meant me. Are you born again? If you're not born again, no, he didn't. Because unless a man be born again, he can't even see the kingdom of God. Can't even see it, can't do nothing, it can't connect. Why? Because God is Spirit, the Bible says, and those who worship him must worship him in the Spirit and in truth. Must, not an option. How do we worship him in the Spirit? Because in your temple, the temple of God, the house of God, dwells your born-again Spirit, which is what? Created after the image of his holiness, the Bible says. So in you dwells the living God. You are a child. You know the Bible says about you, you're born from above, if you're born again. God's trying to get us to understand that we are not earthly creatures anymore, and why are we walking around like earthly creatures trying to do religion to please a God who says, what is that? What is that? That's not what I asked. I love you, but that's not what I asked. And here we are, you know, pedal faster, you know, work harder. I'm going to pray more. I remember when I was so young and so blind, I would read 5 chapters a day because I thought you're supposed to. And that's what actually, I'm embarrassed to say it, that's actually why I was doing it, because I thought that's what you're supposed to do, read 5 chapters. And I think if I remember right, it's been years and years, I think Psalm 117 is like the shortest chapter in the Bible. So I read my 5 chapters and I whizzed through them, got nothing out of it because it's your duty, right? I mean, that's how dumb I was. And God said to me, read, I think it was 117, it's like 2 lines. He said, there, you're at 6, happy? Send it to me. You're at 6, good job. Hoop-de-doo, let's chalk that up in heaven. I only read 6. You see how stupid that is? And do you know, I was so blind that even when he said it, I didn't really get it. I didn't get that I was reading the Bible and getting nothing from it because I was doing out of this religious obligation of this is what I'm supposed to do. Instead of I'm hungry, I want truth. See, and I don't know how that happened because when I first got saved, I was hungry for truth. I wanted to know everything about my Father, and I read and read and read and read and read because I wanted to find out everything I could about my Father. You see the difference? That's life. That's reading because you're hungry, meditating on it, you're thirsty, asking him questions. How did I come from that to doing the church thing and doing the, you know, right? Is it possible that we've gotten some religion on us? And is it possible that we as spirit-filled believers have pointed the finger at the denominations and said they're religious, but in fact, we're religious? Oh, man. Ooh. Is it possible that we have taken this thing and made it all about our duties? Now, if we're reading the Bible to build us up and make us stronger, even when we don't feel like it, that's a good thing. Because we need the Word. We need to eat the Word. But if we're doing anything because we think somebody expects it, or even we think it's just like a duty, it's a clanging gong in heaven. It has no real merit. God's trying to raise up a people that are children. You know, one of the things I think we have that's a mistake is we think we're all grown up. You know, we have it together and we try to learn the most and be very, you know, authoritative. But when we come into heaven, when we come before the Father, when we come before the throne room, he says to come like children. The smaller you make yourself in heaven, the more you'll get. If you come in like a 3-year-old kid, you will always receive. If you come in like a hotshot that knows something, you don't get much. You won't receive a lot. But if you come in, you know, even this is what I learned a long time ago, even if God tells me a truth, when I come before God, it's like I know nothing. Because what if I only know a little fraction of that truth? And what if he's trying to show me something else? And if I go in like a hotshot and think I know that thing, I won't hear anymore. If you think you know something, you won't hear. If you think you know something, you will not hear more. Hotshot. That's true. If you think you got it in that area, you are not open to receive more. God told me something once. He said, no matter how much you learn, no matter how anointed you get, no matter how much I build you up, no matter how many levels you work through, never, never, never think you've got it because I'm infinite. And the minute you think you've got it is you'll stop right there and never go any further. That'll be the end of that. So keep me, Jesus, like a 2-year-old kid. When I'm with you, I know nothing, but I want to know everything. I want to know it all. I want to feast on God, right? And when you come in with an attitude like that, you'll always receive from the Father. You'll always learn something new. You'll always be joined with him. God loves children. He loves his children. He loves the humble. He lifts up the humble. Doesn't he say that in his word? God is trying to put a new heart in us. I see him tearing down some of the performance thing. I have a dear friend who loves the Lord. I mean, awesome saint of God. But she was struggling with this thing of judgment all the time. She saw God through the light of anger and judgment. Like if she just did slightly the wrong thing, he would be mad. And I don't know where she got that, but God told her one day, he just flat out told her that she was seeing him through the light of her performance. And that she was looking through a filter. She saw everything in the Word through a filter of performance. And the reason is she was raised that way. If that's you, let's deal with that. Let's get rid of that. So I'm just going to, that may not be you, but let's all just say it. Father, in the name of Jesus, if I'm seeing you through a wrong filter, please remove it. I don't want to see you through a filter that isn't true. Give me a revelation of the love of God, of the true holiness of God. Give me a revelation of relationship with God, even of oneness with God. In Jesus' name. Because when we come into relationship, this is what I found. If I go to God like a little kid, we get closer and closer and closer. Every year, we get closer. God is really sweet. Now, I will say this. If you're half in, and I don't think there's, I'm hoping there's no one in here like this, but there are some people who said the sinner's prayer, they're kind of half in the kingdom, but they're kind of half out. In other words, they aren't wholly dedicated to Christ. You'll always have trouble. I love you, but you'll always have trouble until, you know, Christianity was never meant to be done halfway. Okay? The Lord said in His Word, He said, I wish that you were cold or hot. I wish that you were cold or hot. But because you are lukewarm, I'll spit you out of my mouth. So I'm not talking about that lukewarm is okay. Okay? We're not saying that. But what I am saying is, if you're all in, meaning your heart is wholly His, your life is wholly His, maybe you bumble and stumble like everybody else. That's not what I'm, you know. But your heart is wholly His. We all make mistakes. And if that's your heart, and you focus on loving Him and learning the love of God for you, what happens is you develop a relationship where no one can take that away from you. Nobody can take the love of God from you. Listen. They can put you in jail. They can beat you. They can't beat it out of you. They can't beat. When you have a revelation of the love of God, when you really get it, nobody can tell you God doesn't love you. Even if you're having a bad day, even if you're having an off day, even if you aren't getting it right, you know that He loves you because He's your Papa. For about 2 years, when I would go to bed at night, just before I'd sit on the side of the bed, I'd just be ready to lay down, and the Lord would say, is there anything I can do for you? Seriously? Me? I'm a mess. Are you kidding? You know, I'm trying to do for you. I'm trying to get this right, you know. Is there anything I can do? You know why? He wants us to understand His love for us. He wants us to understand there's a better way. There's a better way. Living out of heaven, living out of the place. Listen. Heaven should not be a foreign place to you. And it doesn't mean you're going to always see lightning and thunder and get goosebumps, right? But you have to understand from the Word that heaven is our actual home. Your citizenship is in heaven. You are a stranger here. This is not home to you. And these rules, all this cultural stuff, all the do's and don'ts, all this garbage, this is not our rules. This is not our stuff. We're just passing through all this nonsense. But if we get a hold of heaven's culture and we begin to believe as it is in heaven, so it is on earth, right? Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Think about how it is in heaven. Come on, think about what it might look like in heaven. Think about the power, the lightning, the thunder that's really going on in the throne room. Wait a minute. He said the kingdom of heaven is in you. Is it possible? Come on. When Edgar first came to town, now I'm just going to be honest, I thought he was as weird as a $3 bill. I just thought the guy was weird. He talked about strange signs and wonders. He was, I'd seen miracles and healings, so I believed in that stuff. But he would talk about strange stuff, and I just thought the guy was weird. He had no filters. He didn't follow anything in our culture, you know. Didn't have any, you know, a lot of people just didn't understand him, and I didn't understand him. But when he showed up, you know, by the Spirit, God told him to come. I started to have encounters in my living room. And I thought, who is this guy? What is with this guy? Now, he was a minister. We didn't even know each other. God told me to help him come to Illinois and do some ministry, get him a rental car, and send him out to the pastor's house. And I'm like, here's the rental car, here's the keys, goodbye, and good luck. You're weird. No idea how much power the man walked in. I go home, and I start to have in the spirit like lightning and thunder in my living room. I'd come home from work, and I'd be on the couch like, angels start showing up in my house. Now, I'd had some angelic encounters, but I remember, like, I don't think I saw this before. And I started thinking, who is this guy? And I started to realize there's more to the realm of God than I've ever understood. And I thought I was a faith person. I thought I was a person that was an intercessor. I thought I was familiar with the kingdom, not even a little. And I realized that there's whole realms and whole levels way beyond what we have seen, and God desires it for us. I said God desires it for us. And we've been tippy-toeing around in a little, about an eighth an inch of water and saying, woo, look at the water of God, woo, look at the water of God. When there are depths and heights to God that He is desiring not only to show you, but to cause you to become acquainted with, to become acclimated, to get yourself accustomed to the presence so you can stand up under the presence. So you can walk in the presence so you can what? Carry it. Because you are the what? The house of God. That means somewhere in you there's lightning and thunder. Somewhere in you there's resurrection power, the same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead. And if you're religious, you'll go, oh, that's just not true. Well, then you need to read your Bible. It's absolutely true. And the problem with us is we have had so many, you know, when Edgar got in my face, you know, it was like God brought Edgar and said, here, take a look at this. And I'll tell you, it was hard because it broke the box of my religious thinking. Because I was raised up in this church. They were a great church, by the way, and they did. I saw people get saved every Sunday. I saw people get filled with the Spirit every Sunday. I saw people get healed every Sunday. They believed in miracles. They believed in the Holy Ghost. They were filled with the Holy Ghost, and it was a great word church. But I never saw nothing like that. And I had been taught that if you walked holy enough, then there would be revival. And Edgar came, and he broke that box to bits. I mean, he completely busted that box. I was like, how is God using this guy? He had had eyeballs grow in a head where there were no eyeballs. I'm talking about no eyeballs, no eyelid. Woman stood in front of him in Bakersfield. God, he said, God caused his hands to jump and his thumbs went in this lady's sockets, and he was grossed out. He wasn't ready to do that. He said he felt this on the end of his thumb, and he jerked his thumbs away and watched eyeballs and eyelids and eyelashes grow. Now, I thought I knew he was telling the truth. And the reason I knew he was telling the truth is I'd seen some pretty staggering miracles. I knew he wasn't making it up. But if you got to know him, you'd say, well, this guy, he's just as regular as apple pie. And he's breaking some of the rules. He's breaking my holy box. So I came to understand that he had come to a place in heaven of relationship. Am I saying don't live holy? No, I'm absolutely not saying that. But I'm saying that if we're trying to live holy enough so that we can have the favor or can have revival or can move in the stuff, that's backwards. What I'm saying is we aren't holy in our flesh, but there is a holy thing in us called our born-again spirit. And that can connect. Do not pass go. Do not collect $200. That can connect with the very throne of God immediately because you're born again. You're spirit, he's spirit. That's the connection. And when you walk there and develop relationship, he begins to change you from faith to faith and glory to glory, and holiness begins to be an outworking. You hear me? Holiness begins to flow out of the relationship and the oneness and the friendship with God. So the longer you walk with him, the holier you walk, but not because you tried to figure it out and you tried to get it right, because you couldn't. You just know that you couldn't. Is anybody hearing me? We've had it backwards. Church has told, not everybody's church, thank God, but the old religion told us that we had to be good enough, you know, kneel down, stand up, cross ourselves, spit in a bowl, whatever, you know, whatever the deal was. I was never religious, so I don't know. Well, actually, I think some of the Orthodox, they actually have the Orthodox. I have a friend that's Orthodox, loves Jesus. And they have this thing where they go out on the step of the church and they actually spit on Satan. Toot, toot, toot. It's a certain day of the year. I'm all for spitting on Satan, but, you know, whatever makes your boat float. Hallelujah, as long as you love Jesus, I'm good. He actually, I got an email somewhere, it's true. But as charismatic or spirit-filled people, have we not done kind of the same thing? I know I did without, just through ignorance, you know, and misunderstanding God and seeing him through wrong filters. And he's trying to break some of that stuff off and give us a heart of flesh so that we can connect with him no matter what our condition. No matter what your condition. No matter what your condition. No matter where you have walked. You know, I will remember one time I have a friend. He used to be a biker. And if you know anything about bikers, he used to be an outlaw biker. Okay, they call them the one percenters because they are like the 1% worst guys like on the planet. They're, some of those Hell's Angels actually believe they are Satan's angels. They actually think that they are. And they're demon-possessed and all this stuff. Well, this guy got saved. Radically, radically saved. He's about 6'9". And the first time I saw him in church, I went, because he was still wearing his, you know, his patch, his vest, his shades, his bandana, and he's like, you know, Goliath. He's one of the sweetest saints you could ever meet. The outlaws tried, they call him the outlaws, the outlaws tried to kill him. Well, one day, after we got to know each other a little bit, he said, I want you to come to a biker party. I'm thinking, okay, I'm from Wheaton. Oh, dear. I'm afraid of you. And God is like, go. I'm seriously, you want me to go? Yes, I want you to go. I'm thinking, okay. I'm thinking, I don't know how to talk to people. And I certainly don't know how to talk to bikers. But there was an unction to go, so I went. And here's what I saw. There were saved, kind of saved, not so saved, absolutely not saved. There was all kinds of people at this party. And I saw one of the strongest moves of the Holy Spirit I've ever seen. The Holy Spirit did signs and wonders that I don't see in church. Isn't that amazing? And these people were drinking beer and smoking a cigarette. See, if I'd have gotten religious, you know, he said, you think about what they came out of. You won't be all fired up. Am I saying we should smoke? No. I'm just saying it's a journey, and their journey's a lot longer than some of our journey, right? And what I saw, the power of God was reaching out to touch them. I was witness to this one girl. She was a real mess. She was pretty drugged up. She was coming off of drugs, and she's sitting on the couch, and the anointing is on me, and I'm sharing with her. And she starts to get this afraid look on her face, and she's backing up on the couch, and she goes, how are you doing that? And I said, well, how am I doing what? She said, well, everything you say, there's like this echo that goes, ch-ch-ch-ch. She goes, it's like there's a reverberation on everything you say. I'm like, that's because it's not me. Me, 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 me. But what I saw was God cared about these people, and he wasn't taking off his check. Oh, this one still smokes. Oh, that one's drinking a near beer. Oh, that one's got a little whiskey. Oh, I don't think so. No, see, he was like, get him. Because it's a journey, right? What he wants is the heart. He wants the heart. You think about Jesus. You think about what we are so afraid of man. We need to break that off, right? You think if Mary Magdalene shows up in here, or let's say, you know, out of whom came seven devils. Let's say a real prostitute comes in, and she's got the tattoos and the right? You know, a lot of church people will not be kind to her. And a lot will say, well, I should be done, but I'm afraid of her, so I'm going to go way on the other side. Come on. God is interested in the heart. Jesus didn't look at any of that. You know why? He saw in the Spirit. You know what I think he saw when he looked at her? Somebody that was hungry and thirsty and hurting and wounded and would love him with all her heart. Now, there's nothing about this in the Bible, but historically they say she became a great leader. She brought many people to follow Christ. And he saw that. He didn't see all her stuff. And he wasn't afraid of what everybody would think. Oh, they'll think he's having an affair with her. Some idiots still think that. They don't know squat. But he cared about her soul. Do we have so much religion that we don't deal with people as people? We have to be very careful. I saw somebody the other day. I'll tell you the truth. I had to, freeze my face because I wanted to go... When I saw this person, I was like, this person was really messed up, okay? You've seen some people, if you're out and about, you've seen some people that are yipes. But this person was working in a store, and I was shopping in this store, and I made up my mind, I'm going to be kind to this person. I made up my mind, if there's any way, I'm going to be kind to them, I'm going to reach their heart if there's any way at all possible. Because I know people are not nice to this person, because they're just really scary looking. And some people want to be, you understand. I don't get why. I'm just telling you some people want to be. But what I'm telling you is we have to be careful to love the heart and see past the junk. Because a lot of times when there's junk, when there's bondage and garbage and even meanness, underneath is a kid that got beat half to death, raped or molested, lied to, left on the street corner. Come on. And no one has helped them. And they're not fun to help, I'm going to be the first to tell you. I met a lady in Kansas City. She had grown up in a home of Satanists. But she had become saved, and she asked me for help. And I said, okay, after this meeting, I will help you. And she told me her story. And her story was when she was a toddler, little girl, she still had a memory of it. You know, she had to go to all the meetings. Her hand held the knife while they sacrificed somebody. She held the knife while somebody was murdered. What would that do to you if you're 3 or 4 years old? Think of a mess. So she had developed multiple personalities. But, you know, by the Spirit, when you minister, that's why you don't ever want to give people your opinion, because your opinion and my opinion is probably wrong, because we don't know where they've walked. And if you looked at this person externally, you would think they don't really want Jesus, but, you know, sometimes they do. And I saw that when I ministered by the Spirit, there was a great deal of tenderness from God to this person. Because God has a tenderness because he sees the heart. Things are not as they appear, okay? And we need to try to get close to God to get his heart for people. I'll tell you something else. It works the other way. Some people look all together, all full of faith, and they've got their faith mask and their giant teeth smile, and they've just got it all together, and we just think they're saints. Hallelujah. Maybe not. They may be, and they may be not. But what I'm saying is we can't know by looking at their outsides. You can never tell about people from their outsides, right? We can only tell by their insides and their heart. God wants to raise you up to be a person that lives in heavenly places. Heaven is your home. God is your home. The Father is home. That's home. No matter how rough your day is, how rough your life is, how rough the project you're working on, come home. Run home to the Father. He is home. And if you can develop that, where that's where you run to. You know, some people run to, you know, other people. Some people run to a prayer meeting. That's okay. But Some people run to the Word. That's awesome. Some people run to a bottle. Some people run to a drug. Some people run to go home and cry. Some people run and just escape. But if we can develop the habit of running to the Father, no matter what our day has been like, whether we think we've been good or bad, He still wants to see you. You know, He still wants to hug you and help you. He wants to help you fix it. If I didn't have this revelation, I don't think I would be alive. And I certainly would not be able to stand in front of anybody. Because I promise I have bungled it as much as anybody. But the difference is when I bungle it, I go home. I said when I bungle it, I go home. And I run to my Father because I know He loves me. And I say, oh, help me, I screwed up. Help me, I think my thinking is off, Lord. Help me, I think this, but this person said that. Now I'm not sure. You know, the Word says that, but that preacher said, what do you say, God? Help me. You know, like a what? Like a little child. And the Father, if you come in the right heart, it doesn't matter where you've been walking. You know, even if you've really, think about the prodigal son. Think how stinky he was, covered with poop, pig poop, broke, messed up, finally, and he knows his unworthiness, the son does. He knows he's not fit to go even back home, but he's hoping, well, maybe he'll take me as a servant. I'm not worthy to be called your son. The Father never even questions it. He runs. He kisses him. He never says, you dirty dog, you took the inheritance and you blew it on sex, drugs, and rock and roll, and now you want to come to me? No. He never even asked him. It's just like he just wiped it all out, said, oh, my son is home. Go get the robe. Go get the ring. Get the best shoes. We're having a party. My son. And why do we think that's okay for an unbeliever, but we don't think it's okay for us? I'm telling you, your Father is your home. Nobody loves you like your Father loves you. You may have some people love you. I was fortunate. I had Edgar. I never saw anybody love anybody like Edgar loved me. It had to be a God thing. You know, it had to be. I never understood it. But I never saw anybody love anybody like Edgar Bailey loved me. I was loved. But you know what? That does not, and he loved me because the Father was loving me through him. He had that somehow, that God connection thing. But nobody loves me like God loves me. Nobody loves you like God loves you. Good day, bad day, performance, lack of performance, doing great, doing bad. God loves you. He's crazy about you. And all you got to do is keep running home every day. Keep, just like it's a relationship, keep asking your questions, pour your heart out, but give him a chance to talk. Hello. Don't just talk and talk and talk and hang the phone up. Go and sit with him. Try to listen. Try to journal. Write down if something he says. Ask him to give you specific answers and write down anything he tells you. He'll change your life piece by piece by piece. You'll end up a new person. You'll end up a new person. Hallelujah. Okay, so we didn't talk at all about what I thought we were going to talk about. I'm just seeing if we should still talk about that. I'm just going to do a real brief thing here. How many of you have ever heard, this is, okay, switch gears. I want to do this because I think this will help you. Have you ever heard somebody talk about making proclamations or positive confessions? Okay, how many people in here actively do that or do it once in a while? Okay, a few people. I like Derek Prince Ministries, and even though Derek has gone home, he was a brilliant Bible teacher, and he would always send out these confessions, positive confessions on bookmarks, you know. And I appreciated it because they were scriptural, but I didn't really get the power of it. And so, I mean, I understood it, you know, kind of in my head, but until you get something here, it's not powerful, right? And so how many people know that in this day witchcraft is becoming a trend? How many people know of people who are dabbling? Nobody? it's okay to raise your hand. Nobody's moving. Okay, in case you didn't know, witchcraft is becoming a constant trend. It's the thing, right? Sometimes when you are under attack, sometimes it isn't just the devil, okay? Sometimes it is people speaking word curses. Sometimes it is just somebody who's mad at you. Sometimes it is people in actual witchcraft. Okay, anybody with me? Okay, so you're not those Americans that don't think there's a spirit realm, right? You do get there's a spirit realm. So as a minister, one of the things we found out was that the more we moved in God and the more we saw God move, was that the more we saw certain weird kinds of attack that were not just attack, but were actually, we felt witchcraft. And as I would pray, I would often see what or who, okay? And one day, I was sitting in my chair, and I was like, how do they have any power? They don't have any power over me. You know, I'm a saint of God. I'm full of the blood of Jesus. I follow Jesus. Jesus is the one with all the power. How does this work? Well, if you understand how earth works, how God created the earth, it says, Psalm 115 and 16, the heavens, even the heavens of the heavens, are the Lord's, but the earth has he given to the children of men. So what we decree, right, because he called us kings and priests, right? What we decree, our words, cause things to come to pass. You can believe it or not, but it is scriptural. And I know you know this scripture, but Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue, and they that love it shall eat the fruit thereof. Right, everybody know that scripture? Job 22:28, thou shalt also decree a thing, and it shall be established unto thee. So is it possible that this is the revelation I came to this day? I was seeing a huge amount of warfare, and I always win because I'm one of those people and I won't quit until I win, so I'm going to win, right? But sometimes it was taken, especially around retreat time, we would pray, we would fast, be 3 months, and we would win, but it was sometimes a tough battle. And one day I was like, how? These people don't even know God. How do they have any power? And it dawned on me, they are speaking over and over and over, and I am not being diligent to speak. Anybody get an aha? They are being diligent. They are meeting at their Friday night prayer meeting, lighting their fire. Some of them use artifacts. Some of them do blood sacrifices. Some of them are just somebody in the church mad at you and they word curse, right? But words have power. You know, I have a friend that's very spiritually attuned. He called me one day. He said, are you having a problem with me? I said, no, absolutely not. Absolutely, I wasn't. He said, are you sure you're not having a problem with me? I said, well, the only thing I can think of is, long story short, he was using my address because he had moved to another state and he just needed an Illinois address, so he was using my address. And he said it would just be a couple of letters. Well, it started to be packages, and I'm having to repack. I'm taking it to the post office. So I had one thought, and this is all I had. He's a good friend. But I thought, I wish that guy would get a P.O. box. That was the thought. Do you know that sent something? You understand that your attitudes against people can send stuff, right? I know you may not believe me, but I'm telling the truth. Here's how to walk in victory. Begin to speak the thing that you want. Begin to proclaim it in the earth. You're a king and a priest, and we're put here to make a decree so it will come to pass. So as I was sitting there, I realized that the reason that some people were winning and I was losing is they were more diligent and I was more lazy. So I said, okay, God, you know, I've written confessions before, and then I would do them for a little while, and then I would get lazy and I would stop doing them. But whenever I did them, I would see results. I would actually write confessions and I would start to see them come to pass. So when this happened, I said, all right, that's it. Thinking of Ralph Graham Dunn, that's it. So I began to write some confessions, and today we say, Lori says them and I say them, and they take at least a half an hour. Ours are quite long. You don't have to do that. But if there's something that is a continual issue for you, write yourself a proclamation. And you can base this on Mark 11, where it says, all things whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe you have received it, and you shall have it. What are you doing? You're pulling from heaven. But how does it come in the earth? Who owns the earth? God gave the earth to man. It comes by your speech. So I started to write some confessions. I did not include them all. If you want some, I will leave them on this front chair. You can come. These are just examples But I just want to give you an example. All my cells and organs are in perfect health. The healing power of Jesus Christ flows through my body continually. I have a perfect memory at all times from the Holy Spirit. I'm able to remember every detail in every situation, even when I'm deep in the Spirit. Because sometimes when you're in the Spirit and He tells you something, you're sure you're going to remember, and then the next day you don't remember. Thank you, Lord, that I spend much time sitting in Your presence. I open my thoughts and spirit to You to receive Your thoughts, insight, wisdom, and visions. I'm able to receive and record it as well. I live a fasted life and enjoy fasting. When I'm not fasting, I enjoy eating properly and in proper amounts. I have lots of energy. Amen. She's laughing. I enjoy being very diligent and disciplined with the Word of God and prayer in my work every day. I have perfect life balance with work and rest. So you kind of see the idea of it. You're saying the thing that you are believing, because again, all things whatsoever you desire, when you pray, believe you have received it. If you have received it, shouldn't we be thanking Him for it? Right? People say, well, that's not true. Well, really? I met a guy who said, I don't want to give a positive confession. I want to say what's really true. Well, okay, what's really true? What God has said is in His Word and what is true in heaven? Or this lame thing that Satan is trying to tell you that's a circumstance in earth? Which one's true? Come on. The right answer is heaven. So I'm leaving these out here. If you'd like to just take an example, just think about it, pray about it, ask the Lord. Because Lori and I have been doing this, well, I don't know, several months. And it is almost funny how we see things come to pass and we give each other a look, because that's paragraph number 8 that just happened. And we're just going to give you one example. But we have a sample of this in here. We started to proclaim, I have a couple of family members that are saved in the name of Jesus, but they don't know it yet. So I wrote one that said, the Lord gives our family members, and then we have this long list of brothers, sisters, you know, people. We list their names. So God gives our family members the spirit of wisdom and revelation to know Jesus Christ and the Holy Spirit personally, and to bless me in my work with understanding. Now I added that last part because I have a couple of family members that do not understand why I do what I do. Well, we added that later, and 2 days, right, after we started to proclaim that, one of Lori's family members called and said, I have to come back to God, weeping, have to recommit to God, 2 days. Could it be unrelated? I would say that, except so many of ours have come to pass. So I would encourage you to think through what you're saying. What are you saying about your physical condition? What are you saying about your life and your finances, okay? So we love you. God loves you. Do you have some announcements? Good. Here.
Yay. Praise the Lord. Was that powerful? Was that helpful? Amen. One of the things I want to just say about doing these proclamations is if you are... I don't mean this in a bad way, but if you're weak in the flesh, like, you know, you ever start a diet and then 2 days later you forget that you were on the diet? Nobody knows what I'm talking about? Okay. Well, sometimes if you think you're going to want to do the proclamations, sometimes it's good to pair up with a friend, a spouse, a family member, a sister in Christ, brother in Christ, and because it's kind of like you're helping each other over the finish line, so to speak, because it's very easy to let the cares of the world push in, and you'll want to get to those proclamations, but something else comes up. And the something else that comes up is usually the enemy trying to stop you from speaking life. So I'm just encouraging you. You might want to pick a buddy, a kid, you know, and say, hey, let's just do proclamations together. And you don't have to give the deep personal ones. You can just do general ones and then build off that. And then as you grow, you'll build a discipline, and it will really help you establish your habit. Okay?